On the last Friday in June, you're listening to Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad. Today we wrap up our summer book series with Beyond the Ties of Blood, a novel by Florencia Mallon. The book is about one woman's memory of the 1973 military coup in Chile and her efforts to locate the disappeared, including the young revolutionary who was her lover. Florencia Mallon, welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you so much.
The best way to get into the story is to dive right in. At the beginning, I'd like you to read the part where we meet the protagonist, Eugenia Aldunate, a Chilean woman who moved to the United States to take a job as a journalism professor.
Boston, 1990. The longest and hottest August drought ever recorded in Boston had seared the summer leaves from the trees, giving the city an eerie, bombed-out feeling. As Eugenia made her way up the stairs of the newly renovated journalism building at Carmichael College, she mopped the sweat streaming down both sides of her face. Looking down at the tissue in her hand, she saw thick streaks of mascara. She could only imagine what her face looked like, so she swung by the bathroom to repair the damage. She gazed at herself in the mirror and wiped the remaining smudges off her face. Her light brown curls, combed into even ringlets little more than an hour ago, were now a mass of sweaty frizz. She took a wide-tooth comb from her bag, wetted it under the faucet, and began disentangling the thicket piece by piece. After repairing the curls, careful to tuck the occasional silvery corkscrew under the brown ones, out of sight, if not out of mind, she put away her comb. Then her face focused on her pinstripe blouse with the long sleeves, its even pattern smeared with sweat. Why couldn't she just wear a different top, at least until the weather cooled off? But the minute she unbuttoned the sleeves and pulled them up above her elbows, the same old shudder went through her and she knew she could not. Purple scars went up both arms like malevolent snakes. Over the years, she had gotten to know them by heart, their distinct textures and shades, each of them a different length and height. But she had never been able to share their presence with anyone or explain why they would forever mark her. And then that Chilean lawyer from the New Truth Commission had called, intensifying the old memories that had already been stirred up in the dust storm of transition and media attention as the dictatorship was ending in her native land. She had gone backwards, as if no time had passed since her arrest. She started waking up in the middle of the night with a huge weight pushing down on her chest, making it hard to breathe. Still dreaming, she felt men attach prods to her arms, nipples, and toes, then shoot her body full of electricity. She relived the burning sensation for a few seconds, but then she felt herself lifted out of her body as if she were flying. Looking down, she saw faceless figures holding her down, forcing her down. Then she would always wake up. She began pulling palmfuls of hair out of the drain every time she took a shower.
Eugenia was imprisoned and tortured by the Chilean military because she was the girlfriend of the leader of the revolutionary left, a man named Manuel Bronstein. Manuel was not a violent revolutionary, but he angered landowners by attempting to seize their property. Describe what Manuel and actual leftists of that time tried to do with agricultural land.
When I was doing historical research in southern Chile, I got to know some of the folks who had been involved in the actual land occupations. They had been very confrontational. And landowners and their families remembered this as a moment of great trauma when their authority that they thought they had over their land and over the people who worked for them was challenged, and challenged very deeply and often violently. Now, in the case of Manuel, I try hard to not have him necessarily be involved in rural land takeovers. What he's involved more is in urban land takeovers, where he helps communities of poor migrants from the countryside take over land where they can then have houses. And he helps them to build the houses. So that's essentially what he does.
Manuel's grandfather organized workers in Odessa in Eastern Europe, so there is a history of his fighting for workers'
rights. Yeah.
Now, you made him more of a regular guy, more Che Guevara than Fidel Castro, which makes sense because you can't build a love story around, you know, a Fidel Castro. But this got me thinking about all the other Manuels advocating for equal rights in Chile. Students, workers, a generation of people who were tortured and in many cases murdered. When you travel to Chile these days, how palpable is their legacy?
The whole younger generation, which came up after the end of the dictatorship or at the very end and then into the post-dictatorship period, that younger generation had an amazing amount of hunger to know what had actually happened. It was for the 13th anniversary of the coup. There was a general conference where people gave papers about their research on the topic. And I gave a paper. There's a piece of it in my novel. And they filled all of the seminar rooms. They had the questions, and they really just wanted to know what had happened because it's not something that's been easily or fully explored publicly. Even to this day, I think there are still things that need to be done to bring it entirely to the fore.
The title of your book, Beyond the Ties of Blood, is a statement about ancestry, parentage, the names we identify with. But it's also a statement that these things hold society together to a point.
Yeah.
What are the important bonds, the important ties that a wounded society like Chile needs to begin the healing process?
Well, that's a very, very deep and important question. I'm not too sure I can answer it fully. In my own experience, what I've learned over the years is that what is necessary is a willingness on the part of people who have not been personally damaged by the events of the coup and of the dictatorship to be willing to listen and to bear witness to the experience of those who have been.
Well, Florencia Mellon, thanks so much for writing this book and for talking with me about it.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed it.
At WNIJ.org, you can hear Professor Mellon read another excerpt from her book. You can also learn more about all our book series authors. Again, that's at WNIJ.org.